Good morning, folks, and welcome once again to the Lord's house. It's so good to see you. Looking out upon the greatest people of God here at Porter, Kentucky, and we're glad to see you and glad to see your smiling faces. Looks like you've had a good week. God has blessed you well. Just can see that from your contentness, and that's great. God is good, isn't he? Amen. God is always good. Welcome, and it's so good to be in the Lord's house once again to give him thanks and to honor him and give him praise for his goodness. And God is so good to us day by day, and we just rejoice in it. So we're glad that you're a part of the family here that comes together week after week to rejoice in God's goodness. And so I want to share with you here from Psalms 47, and gives us the thought, you know, the cheer, the honor to God that the psalmist has here when he says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And so he demonstrates here how joyful and how thankful he is to have a God like Jehovah God to worship. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He shall subdue the people under us. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with a shout of the triumph. Sing praises unto God. Sing praise unto our King. Sing praise, for God is the God of all the earth. Sing you praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The prince of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." Let's praise this great one this morning together.
For him of worship this morning, using number 434, sing the first and third verse, and Virgil will have her prayer. That's all. Thank you.
Savior, I would go where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on, walking in the footsteps till I'm drowning
communion hymn will be number 364. 364, sing the first and last verse.
In the cross,
Together in your house on the Lord's Day. And we read around your table to thank you for the loaf and the cup that represents the broken body that died on Calvary's cross, so through him we can have life and everlasting. Be with each individual that partake of these emblems this morning, that call from their mind and to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you for providing for us. You bring back the fortune to give this blessed folks a gift to you. Pray that we should be in life and be blessed in this service. We have finished the last 20 days. Forgive us when we fail to take us in the name of the Lord. Best tonight.
Looks like we have several that have January birthdays. Donna Lees has a birthday coming up this week, and so does Charles back there has a birthday, and Jeff Jones and Billy Sharp, and Jeff is not with us this morning. We wish you all a very happy birthday this coming week. Nothing else taking place this week that we have in our bulletin here, and nothing else that I know of in the community taking place that we could share with you. But, of course, we know that this time of the year now and the weather and so forth, things are not as active as they are. They'll pick up here pretty soon in another few weeks. Well, things will pick up and things will be a booming again for us. So we look forward to activities that will be taking place. I'm not sure, and I meant to call yesterday to find out about the hymn sing. And I'm not sure now exactly what's taking place there. And that would be at Northside and should be in the next week or so, so I'm not sure. So we'll find out, let you know next week about that. Okay, we have so much to be thankful for. God is so good and blessing our people so wonderfully, and I'm so thankful that God blesses you people so well. And guys, we look around and see people in such straits and people who do not honor God, and people don't look to the giver of good and perfect gifts as you people do, and they have such terrible times and hard times and such with, boy, if they would just be like you, would look to God and honor God and know he is the one who gives those good things that come from his loving hand, how wonderful it would be. I would that everyone in the world really could enjoy the blessings that come from God as you people do. That's great. God is so good to us. And I'm so glad that you're able to be here. You know, we have people and we have the flu going around and different types of colds and such affecting people across the nation and around us. And we're glad that you're well, but glad that you're able to be here a part of our worship service. We have several on our prayer list. We want to encourage you to continue to pray for those folks on our prayer list. All of them have different needs. There's some that are taking tests to see what's wrong, and some are confined to home, so keep them in your prayers. I see we have Bob Parker back on our prayer list this morning, and maybe he's been on there the last few weeks, but I guess I didn't notice that. And so we still have several people on our prayer list, and we've shared with you different things and different thoughts about them, what's taking place, and so continue to pray for them, for their individual needs. Bergen is absent this morning. He has the flu. Jerry is not here this morning. He had the flu, and he had a real bad spell of it, and so he's feeling better yesterday, and so we hope they'll be back with us soon. And Peggy is absent with us this morning. She has had not the flu, but something that's affecting her and so forth, and her congestion and so forth. And so we just pray that that will be relieved and she'll be able to enjoy things as she always does. Who else is missing that seal that I see out here? But keep them in your hearts, your minds, and in your prayers. And God works wonderful things, does wonderful things for his people, and certainly we're not here to say boss God around. We're just saying, God, we know that you are the one who has the power to do. You are the great healer, and you can touch people's lives. And we just pray, God, that you will work with these people and do good things in their lives. And we know that you will. Pray for everybody that's in authority and in high places, that rule over, that has the responsibility of leading our nation and our states and our counties, and even down to our magisters who has make decisions and so forth, that what takes place around your community, our nation, our state, keep them in your prayers, our service people, that they will not have to lose their lives and battle out and be in danger, that they might be able to be home and soon and be with their family. For those who can't be out and around about by themselves, has to have somebody else to care for them, pray for them, pray for the caregivers, that they will be kind and generous and do the care for them in a loving way. We do read sometimes of people that can't care for themselves, and the caregiver is not too good to them. So we pray that those would be sorted out, and good caregivers would be given to those who need care, and they do it in a loving, kind way. Pray for our church family. Pray that all people that will be safe and things will work good for you. And God will just bless you in a great and wonderful way. We have such a wonderful God and good God, and he's interested in your well-being. And he knows all the different things that happens. He knows we get the flu. He knows we have colds. And he knows we have problems and so forth. And he works with all of those things. And you're here. And I'm quite convinced that last week, during the week, sometime or another, God had to do something in a good way for you. You wouldn't be here. So we're thankful for that. So as we come to our prayer time, we have a wonderful, great God who has an open ear, is greatly concerned, who loves you and loves to do good things for you. Let's give him thanks through prayer.
For prayer hymn, using number 196, sing the first and second verse, and many will have a prayer. So say it.
When we walk in the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. What we do is good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey.
Join our hearts and spirits together and go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful So thankful we have a God who cares for us, is concerned about our well-being, has loved us in such a way to went to that extreme to send your only begotten Son that he might go to Calvary's cross and die a death that we should die ourselves, the penalty we should have to pay, but he did it for us. What a love you have for us. We thank you so much for that, dear God. And Heavenly Father, and we come this morning because you've been so good to us last week. Just as always, you're a good God and you provide our provisions for us. You help us, Heavenly Father, in the things we have to do. And Heavenly Father, so we come back this day and we want to say thank you. And on whatever we sing, whatever we say, and just being here to God, just take from our people, from each one, Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness, Heavenly Father, your compassionate as you are, Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. We thank you that you treat our people so wonderfully. Your people, actually, we call them our people because they're part of our family, Heavenly Father. But when we do, we recognize that they're your people, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for loving them, being so kind and good to them. So this morning, Heavenly Father, we come to you and we recognize there's some absent from us because of illness and because of various reasons. We have a prayer list that's very long, and we pray, Heavenly Father, for each one, each and every one on our prayer list, dear God. We know that they're facing different things. Some are facing operations. Some are facing tests. Some are having other difficulties, Heavenly Father. So we pray that for each and every one of them that you'll minister in the way that they need. We know you'll do what is best for them. And then, Heavenly Father, we recognize that there's some of our people that are very faithful, that are always saddened when our faithful people are absent because of illness. And so, Heavenly Father, we miss Peggy, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, that the congestion can be relieved from her, that she can be well. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Bergen, that, Heavenly Father, that this flu will go away from him, that he'll be up and going and feeling well, along with Jerry, Heavenly Father, who has suffered very much this week with the flu. We pray that each and every one of them can be well, be strong, Heavenly Father, and be back in with the church family next week. But to Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll grant them a comfortable, good week and their healing that they need. And Heavenly Father, we come this morning and we stand before you. We recognize that we're not perfect, that we fall, that we fail, we make bad decisions. We Heavenly Father, pray that you will help us, that you will forgive us. You'll help us to understand our failures, help us to learn by them. Help us, Heavenly Father, then to live stronger lives in Christ Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, as a church family, we thank you for each person here. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will deal with us in our individual needs and in our individual way, Heavenly Father, that you will comfort our people, keep them safe as they go forth this week, Heavenly Father, into the good things that you have for them. In Jesus' name we praise you for it. Amen.
Invitation here will be number 378. Okay. This song kept going through my mind. And so I finally decided what it was. Over 2 years ago, I had something bring me to my knees. And then I got this song. And it says here that Jesus was nailed to the cross for our sins. So I got to thinking, just look what he did for me and what he did for you. So, you know, things kind of bring you out. And that this song has really helped me. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should up it, though trials should come. Let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is so. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen.
Thank you, Virginia, and thank you, Kathleen. This is January, and this is specials, and so if you have a special that you would like to share with us, why, see, it's draining, Doodle.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Kept hearing that little racket. I thought, we'll see. Oh, all right. So good to be here and to be with you. Wondering what I could share this morning to kind of give you a little bit of encouragement for the new year. And we do hope and pray that, as that song, that all things is well with your soul. You know, all the turbulence that's in the world today, we need a settled soul and spirit, and we can get it from Almighty God. So I was wondering what I might share with you this morning, and want to encourage you in some way in the new year. And remember, you, everyone here now is here today is eligible to be a rewarded with a perfect attendance at next year if you continue to do that, what you're doing today. So I thought, well, new year, new adventures, new things. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 is a couple of verses that came to my mind. And they read like this. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Shall you not receive it, really, is what that means. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, when we read those two verses there, we have to think about everything that's taken place. Israel is in captivity under the Babylonians. And pretty dark, dim day for them, situation they're in. When we look at their history there, it was a dark day in Israel that they were taking. They were there because of their disobedience, because of the rebellion against God. They were being punished, really, for their disobedience, for dishonoring, because if we read the story about what had taken place and what had gotten them there, they were intermingling with the pagans, and they were worshiping pagan gods and so forth in with their own, and they were dishonoring God in many ways. And so God, he's a good father, and so he chastens us. And sometimes, you know, he has to go to pretty drastic extremes to get us to realize where we're at and what we're doing and get us to wake up. So they're in captivity, and probably they are some of them that realize they have failed, they made mistakes, made bad decisions, and God is punishing them. That's why they're there. And they've been there for a period of time, and they probably maybe are thinking, well, God has just forgot about us. God has doesn't want anything else to do with us. I know there's people that think that. People that get their lives all messed up sometime, and they fail, they sin, they make bad decisions and make mistakes, and they realize that, and they come to a point to say, God probably doesn't care about me anymore. And I think possibly that's what many of those were thinking there in Babylon when Isaiah here writes this. Hadn't heard from God for some time, and they were suffering for their misdoings, and where's God? Has he forgotten about us? I don't know. Isaiah then comes on the scene here, and what God does, he uses Isaiah in a wonderful way. He writes to them, and he says, no, God hasn't forgotten you. And that's an encouragement that we need as Christians to others who sometimes fail, make mistakes, and they feel that God has moved away from them or left them and doesn't care about them. No, no. God, they're in Babylon. They're being punished, but God hasn't forgotten about them. Why? Because he calls on Isaiah, and he tells Isaiah, I want you to write these people and tell them, speak to them, I'm going to do new things. I'm going to make new ways. And it's a long story, and we're not going to get into that because I want to get to what I want to share with you also, but I'm using this to say, hey, look what God's doing. And God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do new things and new start. And it's wonderful. The new year is a good time to make a new start. And I look at the Christian people, and I think it's a good time for a fresh start. You might not need a new start. You need a fresh start, maybe. Old things, we get kind of bunkered down in the old things and old ways, and we need energized a little bit and get into new things. God, you know, God's always got new things for us, you know. New things for us to enjoy, new things for us to experience, and new things for us to do. And we hope that, you know, we don't want to just do all the same things over and over and over. And some people do get caught up in those kind of ways, and they live year after year, and about the same thing happens year after year after year after year. God's got new things in store. So he says here, I'm going to do new things, new ways. And when you study the history of Israel and study where they were at, they were a long way from Jerusalem. And they had to go through a wilderness to get back to Jerusalem. They had to go to a desert place. And so when God is using this analogy here from Isaiah that he's going to make rivers in deserts, those people are going to walk through some deserts. It depends on which way they go back from Babylon to Jerusalem. But they'll primarily have to go through some wilderness. They're going to go through desert land. So God says this, that he's going to do this, going to make ways for them. But it really, that's a symbolic to his life, what they're going to do to his life. Their life is going to just experience greater things than ever before. And so I'm sure people today that are looking for God, wondering, is God forgotten? But no, he hasn't. So Maybe, you know, maybe you're here and maybe you have failed. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Maybe you've had made some bad decisions. And maybe you haven't. Regardless of how it is or what condition it is, you either need a new start or you need a fresh start. And so I hope that I can share some thoughts with you. And what I've done, I've looked at myself. And I always say I hate to talk about myself, but I know myself better than I know anybody else. And I know what I have to do sometimes. And I know sometimes what I have to do, other people have to do too, to experience what God has for us. And so what I've done this morning, I've put together something here, actually an outline that's been used many, many years, but I put it in a different way for myself. And so I just wish to share with you, I want a new start. I want a fresh start, God. I want this year to be like no other years. And I've made some mistakes and I've made some bad decisions and I want out of those spots, God. I want to be led out. I want to be led into these new things. I want these, what Isaiah is speaking here to Israel said. He says, I want to do new things in your life. And you know, I really do believe God wants to do some new things in my life. I really do believe that God wants to do some new things in your life. And I really do believe that we can experience them if we will follow the right formula. And so I have a formula that I want to share with you. And it's simply start. And I'll use the word start and use the letters. And this is the way I feel like I have to do. And I hope it's encouragement to you. So when I think about a start, a new start, and I take that word start, and I take the S. And I thought, what can I put there? Stop. Okay. Stop making excuses. Isn't it easy to make excuses why you fail? It's his fault, her fault. The boss's fault, somebody else's fault. It's never your fault when you fail, is it? Somebody, it's my wife's fault, it's my husband's fault. I gotta quit making excuses for my failures. All my failures, the things that I experience is my fault. They all come back to me. I have to quit blaming other people for what's happening to me. I am a victim of my own circumstances. And I got to stop looking for excuses and blaming others. Proverbs 28 and 13 teaches this. This is not exactly what it says. And I hope sometimes you know that, I know a lot of you, so I see you turn to those verses when I mention them. And I hope that you catch it sometimes. Oftentimes I'll say it teaches us, and then sometimes I'll say it says this. I hope you catch that, because if you don't, you'll say he's misquoting that scripture. But see, some I don't quote and don't read per se because it teaches me this. And some of them just simply says this. So I have two verses that does that. I'll show you. Proverbs 28:13 teaches me, a man that refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Writer of Proverbs, pretty wise. Isn't he, Matthew? Matthew's read a lot of Proverbs. Pretty wise. And he says, a man that refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Isn't that wonderful? He gets another chance. He gets a new start. He gets a fresh start. God says, if I admit my mistakes, if I refuse to admit my mistakes, I won't get another chance. But if I'll just admit, it's my fault, and it's my doing, God, please forgive me, I get another chance. It's my fault. It's my fault. Oh, yes, other people will hurt us. Other people harms us. But I must realize that I am the only person who will allow anyone else to ruin my life. You get that? I am the only person that will allow anybody else to ruin my life. People hurt you. People say bad things. But it's how you deal with that. And I'm not going to let that ruin my life. I'm not going to let anybody. I had a sermon years ago down at Kiefer, and I had my world in it. And, you know, I said, I'll only let people in my world that will help me do good things toward God and for God and in life. So I'm not going to let anybody ruin my life. I must do that. You know, there's people that wants to control your life. You know, there's controlling people. And if you let controlling people control your life, you're not going to enjoy what God has for you in your life. So it's up to us. So stop making excuses. Take on my own fault. And secondly, is T. Take inventory. I was in Walmart's last week, and I saw a bunch of their workers going along, and they got these little clickers, you know. They're clicking on all the products there. And they want to see what kind of year they had. They want to see what kind of year they had so that they can use that to make a more profitable year this year. Well, that's kind of in our spiritual life, you know. I have to look back. I have to look back at my life last year. And I have to look at where I failed and where I had victories. And I have to look at those victories and see what I have to do this year so that I don't have those failures again. I don't make those mistakes over, that I can have victory in the Lord this year. So I must take inventory of my life, evaluate my experiences so that I can learn from them. You know, my daddy used to say, you learn from your experiences, you know. But isn't it sad that some people don't learn from their experiences and they do it over and over and over and over? And I've been caught in that. I don't know about you, but I've been caught in that. But I don't want to get caught there anymore. The failures, the mistakes I made last year, I don't want to make them over this year. I want new things to come in our way. I want to be victorious over the things. And so I have to take inventory myself. I must learn from my failures. I can choose to learn from them, or I can choose to just do it over and over. See? You can do that. God uses life's experiences to shape our lives. You know, my family, when I was growing up in my family, you know, my family, my earthly family, shaped my life somewhat. And when I got out in the work field, the people I worked with, they shaped my life somewhat. When we went to school, those students around you, those schoolmates, they shape your life. God uses circumstances and people and things to shape our lives. I must realize also that he uses painful experiences. I'm quite sure that it was pretty painful for the Israelites here to be away from all that God had given them, all that God had done. When they could probably sit there and remember. They could remember the Passover, the crossing the Red Sea, the conquering of the Promised Land, the building of the temple, and how they had faith in doing those things, and that was old faith. But they don't have enough faith to get them out of the situation they're in. And sometimes we're that way. I'm that way. Sometimes I have the old faith, and it doesn't get me into the new things. God wants to get us into the new things here, get into the new ways that he has for us. And I must realize that sometimes those painful things that I have to go through, they're God's shaping my life. And I mentioned last week, I think sometimes, you know, and it's an awful thing to have some of the diseases that we have some of the things that happens for us. God doesn't bring them on us, but God can use them to direct us and shape our life and help us to see what he has in store for us and help us see better things. So when I take inventory of my life, I must ask, what have I learned from my victories? What have I learned from my failures of last year? Will they help me to make choices of this year? I hope they do. I pray they will. And then I come to A, STA, and I got to act. And I got to act on my faith. And that's where the people was with in Isaiah's writing to them there. See, they had their faith had gone down. I don't know what decimal they were on, but they were in bondage. They were away from home. They were away. They had lost everything that God had given them. They thought they would had it forever. You know, when God brought his people to Jerusalem and he built a temple and everything, I figure the people kind of settled down there and they thought, boy, we've got it all and we'll have it forever. But see, their mistake was they didn't do what they were supposed to be doing, and they lost all they had. And now they're back there, and they've settled down, and their faith has dwindled. I have to act in faith. To experience a new start, I must have faith to move out into different territory. Listen, if I want to experience new things, I must launch out into new areas. If I want to be fruitful in my life, I must get up and be about. Matthew 9:29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. According to your faith, it will be done. That means if I determine what kind of a year in the Lord that I will have and put faith in it, it'll happen. But if I don't have any new faith, stronger faith, if I just operate on the old faith, I'll just have what I had in the old year. God wants to do a new thing. If I have the same faith that I had last year, I just expect no more. And some people will settle down into that. What kind of year do you think you'll have? Well, it'll be like last year. And boy, I'm not going to look at it the way. I can't look at it that way. I don't want last year over, do you? I mean, it was good. God blessed me well, just as he did you people. But I don't want to go through some of the experience. I don't want to spend half of this year in the doctor's office taking tests. I don't want to experience that no more. I want better things and new things this year coming, see. And so I've got to have faith that God's going to deliver me into those. God's going to help me through those. I got to have faith, and I got to act on that faith. If I'm going to have a new start, if I'm going to have a fresh start, I've got to act on that faith, believing that it's going to be better, it's going to be bigger, and God's going to do it. You know, God has always got bigger and better things for us. You know, and different things and different things to experience, different joys to enjoy. Just. God just wants to do new things. And he tells his people there, I'm going to do a new thing for you. And I believe God wants to do new things in your life this year. And I'm convinced that God wants to do new things in my life this year. And I'm looking forward to the faith that I'm talking about is a positive acting faith. Believing, working on it. You know, it's just like the little blind man. You remember when Peter and John was going up to the temple and the scripture says there was a certain lame man, born, birthed from his mother lame, carried to the temple gate called Beautiful day after day, and he was there and asked alms. So this particular day he was there, and here comes Peter and John, they're coming up, and the lame man asked Peter for alms. You know, people know, they knew their where to beg from. You know, people know that religious people are compassionate and so forth, and that's the people to ask to be generous. They're generous and compassionate. So he asked Peter and John for an alms. And I'm convinced he believed he'd get it. He was set there and he asked people for something, believing that they would give him something. And so he believed that Peter and John would give him an alms. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I give you, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What happened? He believed, I really believe, he believed that he would get, because that was his daily thing. He would get. But what happened? He got more than he expected to get. And I believe that's what a positive, active faith does. It will give you more than you expect. So if I want a new start, if I want a fresh start, I have to have that active, that positive, active faith in God, in what he'll do. And those things will come about. Then there's R. Refocus. I have to, if I'm going to have a new start and have a fresh year, I have to refocus. You know, that's how we think. I have to change the way I think about some things. I have to refocus on what I'm thinking and how I think. Proverbs 4:23 teaches, be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I have to refocus on my thinking if I'm going to experience new things from God this year. The way you think determines how you feel. And the way you feel determines how you act. And if you want to change your actions, just think different. If you want to change how you feel, think different. I know that you probably have experience in your life. How many times have you said, boy, I don't think I feel good? If you're not careful, you'll be in a doctor's office before the day's over. I told this story before. We had a neighbor. And long story short, his mother lived up the street, up the road from him. And she went down to his house one morning and she looked at him. And she said, Newt, you don't look good. You feel good? He said, well, he said, I thought so. But he said, I might not feel as good as I ought to. And she got to talk to him. And before she left, they went to the emergency room. The doc, see what's wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. It's how you think. Think brings character, brings actions. So if I'm going to experience these things in the new year and good things from God, I'm going to have to think a little different than I thought last year maybe about some of those things. That's my choice. You can think good or you can think bad. That's your choice. See, so when I say, I got to do that, it doesn't leave God out. I'm depending on God to help me do it. But you got to do that. I got to do that. I got to make the choice. Am I going to feel good this year? I've already determined that last week. I'm going to feel good this year. I'm going to experience new things in God, and I got to feel good, and things like that will happen. Romans 12:2 said, be transferred by the renewing of your mind. You know, I think the whole of that verse says, you know, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this word, but be ye transformed to renewing your mind, it says. Renewing your mind. And so my mind has to be renewed. I don't want the same old thoughts that I had last year. I want those new minds, new thoughts that God has for me and stored for me there. And those things will cause other things to happen here. So this is what I want. I want to be happy and I want to prosper this coming year. Don't you? And so I'm believing, I'm thinking that it's going to happen. We're going to be successful. We're going to experience good things and better things. Even on top of all the good things we experienced last year, I believe we're going to experience greater and better and bigger things from God this year. I really do. This is what we all want. I want to be happy and I want to be successful. I want to succeed in the things I do. And in doing it, I want to be happy about doing them. And in being happy about them, I want to share that with others. And I want them to be happy. Not only because I'm happy, but because they too are experiencing those things. It comes from the hand of loving God. Well, what can I do? Transform my mind. How can I do that? Think on good things. What is the best thing to think on? God's word. Yeah. Any amens there? Amen. Thank it. You know, the word says, what did the psalmist say? He hid the word in his heart that he might not sin. But then he also said, I meditate on it day and night. What's meditate mean? You think on it over and over and over. You fill your mind with God's word. And that begins to change your mind. And as we said, your mind then will change how you feel. Not only physically, but how you feel about other things and other people. And as your mind changes and you feel different about different things, then your actions will take place and things will just blossom better than you ever expected them to be. So, then the last one is this, another T. And you probably hit on me. And that in all that I've said, I've got to trust in God. I've got to trust in God. If I'm going to succeed in life, I will have to stop solely depending on myself and depend on God. I read in a scripture where this man said, my fields has produced abundantly. My barns are overflowing. So I will pull down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and store up for myself that then I can say to myself, take ease, you have plenty. Enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry. Yet, God said tonight, your soul is abandoned. Depending upon self, I've been guilty of that before. I had made mistakes before, made decisions for myself, and said, self, you're going to do this. I can't do that. I got to stop that. I have to trust on the one who can make all those things possible. You see, because I got some things in my life that some people says is impossible. So I'm trusting the one who makes things possible that are impossible. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. If I'm going to have a new start, if I'm going to have a fresh start, if I'm going to experience the good things that God has for me, new things and new ways, I got to trust God. I got to trust God. Zechariah 4:6 teaches me, I will not succeed on my own strength or power, but the power of God. In that scripture said, not my power. And we read in the scripture said, not my power, but by the power of God. You know, you people, and our kid Matthew back there quite often, he's just growing to being a robust young man, you know, and I just feel the energy from him, you know, and so forth. And you just think, boy, I can do this. And I used to be that way, you know, I thought, boy, I could just wrestle a tiger, you know, and I could just do that. But, you know, I've come to realize in life, that's not the way it is. Those I could do's oftentimes didn't get the do's done. And now I know when I trust in God, my do's gets done. And so I know if I'm going to be successful this year, if I'm going to experience good things of God, if I'm going to enjoy this new year and the good things that God has, I got to trust Him for it. Fully trusting. fully trusting. To experience that new start, have faith and move out in different territories, I got to trust God. I got to trust God in them. We can have a fresh start. And if you're here and you've made mistakes, you've failed, and you thought God has just forgot about you, and no, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. He's got new things, new ways. You just have to start. I hope that you can remember that. I hope that'll be an encouragement to you all year long. Anytime you're feeling down or something or feeling a little bit off, remember, start, start. Stop thinking you're failing. Because you know, that's what'll happen. Stop thinking, I'm not feeling so good. That's what's going to happen. Start thinking with a positive, active faith that these things will happen and are going to happen. So as we close this morning, will you have a new start? Do you need a new start? Will you have a new start? Do you need a fresh start, Christian? You can have a fresh start. All you have to do is stop making excuses. Take inventory of your life. Act in faith. Refocus on what's going on and what you're thinking about and trust God for it. And you'll have the best year that you ever spent in your life. Stand as we sing the invitation hymn. Is there anything in your life you need to change, rededicate, make right with God? We invite you to come. If you haven't accepted me, we invite you to come as we sing the first verse only of our invitation hymn. Trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house on the first Sunday of the new year. And I just hope that you'll be blessed by it. I hope that you'll be able, you just can't wait to come back and praise God next week for the goodness that you experienced this coming week, that he's got in store, the new things, the new ways that he's got for you to go. He's going to do it for you. Just start. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how good you are to us. And how good you are, dear Heavenly Father, to have be a part of such a wonderful family here at Porter. Faithful, believing family, but oh, Almighty God, we make mistakes and we make bad decisions sometimes, but we're going to change that. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you'll help us make a new start, a fresh start, that we'll experience these new things that you have in store for us, that we'll adventure out in new territory and new areas and experience greater things than before. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're going to do for our people here at Porter, even right now. What they're going to experience this week that they haven't experienced before. That Heavenly Father, the good things that's going to come their way. And they don't have to wait too long for them. They're going to come immediately, Heavenly Father, and I thank you for it. All year long, we're going to trust you. We're going to enjoy new things, new ways, because of your great loving hand. And they're all coming to us through Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. And now once again, we ask you, bless our people as we leave. Keep them safe. Make good things happen day by day for them. We pray and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.